Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, I'm Sarah Pascoe.
Hello, I'm Carrie Adloyd.
And we're weird about books.
We love to read.
We read too much.
We talk too much.
About the too much that we've read.
Which is why we've created
the Weirdos Book Club.
Join us!
A space for the lonely outsider to feel accepted and appreciated.
A place for the person who'd love to be in a real book club but doesn't like wine or nibbles.
Or being around other people.
Is that you? Join us.
Check out our Instagram at Sarah and Carrie Ads Weirdos Book Club for the upcoming books we're going to be discussing.
You can read along
and share your opinions.
Or just skulk around in your raincoat like the weirdo you are.
Thank you for reading with us. We like reading with you.
This week's book guest is The List by Yomi Adegoke.
What's it about?
The List follows online supercouple Ola and Michael after he's included on a list of male abusers. But did he do anything? Can Ola trust him again? And will their massive Insta marriage take place?
What qualifies it for the Weirdos Book Club? Well, Ola's first reaction to her boyfriend's public shaming is to hire a private detective and try wedding dresses on. That's our kind of gal.
In this episode, we discuss
social media,
relationship goals,
bad men,
catcalling,
and gossip.
And joining us this week is the author, Yomi Adegoke.
Yomi is a journalist and author. She stormed onto the publishing scene with her debut nonfiction, Slay in Your Lane, co-written with Elizabeth Uvibenene. She's also written for preteens with The Offline Diaries, and her debut novel, The List, was an instant Sunday Times bestseller and is soon to be adapted by HBO.
The List by Yomi Adegoke is available in paperback from today.
Trigger warning, in this episode, we do discuss sexual assault and paedophilia. Hello, and welcome to the podcast.
It's so exciting to have you here.
Thank you so much.
I'm very excited.
Thank you so much for being here.
There aren't many celebrities in literature, not books' fault, but I feel like that's, you're bringing glam, you're bringing sort of like celebratory brunches.
Oh my God. If I could blush, I would honestly be. I'd be radioactive right
Your
now.
Book was so successful that the Waterstones, I think it was in Croydon, they decorated the
your
whole
hometown,
of the outside.
Your hometown.
I definitely asked them
your
to
book.
Do that.
Yes.
I definitely was like, you know what, we were going to put it in the window of somewhere, and I feel like, I don't know, like part of my whole thing is trying to rehabilitate Croydon's image single-handedly. Yes. Yeah. So I literally like put in a request, like, can we do it in the Croydon Waterstones? And they were very happy to oblige, and yeah, that was iconic. Like, my parents were very happy.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, there was a lovely picture on Instagram. Yeah. Was it your mum outside?
Oh, and my dad. Oh my God, my dad with his like hand on his hip really sassily. loved it. You know, we don't have many like celebrities coming out of Croydon, but the ones that we have are proper like good. It's like Kate Moss and fucking Stormzy.
Yeah.
So,
And you.
Really high caliber. Yeah.
Goodness, girls.
It's been such a whirlwind. This book has had such incredible, like, it was instant Sunday Times bestseller.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because it's about the bit before, because readers will know.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you know, the shops are all selling it, it's in the charts.
Right.
But did you, for months and months beforehand, sort of see wheels turning? Like, you might have known, like, oh, the reviews are really good, or people are really keen to get their hands on
it. Because there was buzz about it.
Yeah.
Buzz is a good word, man.
Yeah. It was, do you know what it was? It was that, so when I sold the book, I sold it on a partial. So I had written,
what does that mean?
Like a partial manuscript, right?
Oh,
so
I see.
I'd written 30,000 words. Thank you.
Lovely.
I'm like literally losing the grip of
So you'd only written 30,000 and you had
I'd only written 11 words.
But that's enough of a chunk to say, this is what the book is, this is how good a writer I am.
Right? You'd think so. Because I did then write out, like, this is what's going to happen chapter by chapter.
Yes.
That being said, I did literally for the next year and a half think, oh my God, what if it was just a massive fluke?
So you did doubt yourself, even though you had this huge early success?
I think because of that, I think because with like, so my first ever book that I wrote was with my best friend.
Slaying Your Lane, Slaying Your Lane.
Another huge publication.
Thank you so much. But see, we never really expected that because like it was literally, we were in our early 20s and we'd never written a book before. So we just kind of like...
How old were you when that came out?
God, when it came out, I was like mid 20s, so maybe like 26. Wow. But when we had the idea... we were like, I think Elizabeth was like 23 and I was 24.
Wow.
So we were really young and naive and kind of like, if no one buys this, it doesn't matter. It's just about getting it out there. But like, we felt zero pressure. Like I was like, you know, embarrassingly optimistic. Just like, this is going to be the biggest thing the world's ever seen.
Yeah.
Whereas like with the list, it was like, because I hadn't written all of it, I just kept thinking like, what if these 9 chapters, I mean, it was lockdown. I was going through a horrendous breakdown. Yes, that and breakup.
Oh gosh.
And
right,
I kind of was like, oh, you know, what if that, you know, alchemy of what was going on there is why I could write those 9 chapters?
Because
now I'm actually fine and happy and whatever, and it's not.
You don't
want to
be recreating those. Definitely
not.
Scenarios.
Not
going to
avoid it.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, I'm not going to lie, like, they gave me like a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like, there was a TV deal before I'd finished it. And it was just.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
TV deal 9 chapters in. And then I remember HBO, literally, I swear to God, I went to the meeting. They went, this is amazing. This is my bad American accent. They're like, this is really great. So how does it end? And I was like, what? I just felt like, oh my God, the idea of people buying into this before it's finished and then
especially,
it being a big flop,
and this
worse.
Is what she's saying, I'm sure lots of people listening have already read the list, but at the beginning, such a grey area. We know that the central male character,
Michael,
has been publicly accused
that's
of being
not
a great guy.
So yeah, a list has come out on Twitter of male sexual abusers, harassers, all sorts of things, and he is on the list along with various other celebrities, footballers, TV presenters.
And the whole book is exploring whether it's right that we have an online call-out culture, what we do if we don't have an online call-out culture, how we fact-check and verify, how we believe women.
Precisely.
And if it's one of the people, the man is someone in our life that we care about.
How does it feel
but
to be?
If they're bidding on chapter 9, they didn't know at that point, like I know, that it continues being a grey area and it's not
100%.
Another 20 chapters on, he's a paedophile.
Yeah.
And she's going to marry him anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
Coming soon to HBO.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's exactly
it.
And
my
it just
God.
Felt like, there was so much confidence in so little, which normally is like great, but it's like, I am a woman. So, and then simultaneously it's like, oh my God, imposter syndrome. Like, am I sure? Like, are they sure? And I think, it was like, on the one hand, I was really excited that, you know, especially like as a black female author, that like, you know, there was that much buy into something that was really controversial as well. But then on the other hand, I was like, oh my God, imagine if this flops. Like, it's again, like not to be all dramatic, but I was like, it's not just me flopping, it's kind of them being like, well, this is why you should never give black women money to write about things that aren't like, you know,
this
what
is,
we expect
this is
about.
The problem with feeling like you have to represent
precisely exactly that. I definitely felt that, not so much because I'm a black female author, but because of how much had happened before I finished it. So I was like, oh my God. So originally it was like complete high. Like my mum watches like Sopranos and Breaking Bad. And I remember trying to explain to her like it was that HBO. She thought there were like 9 HBOs. Like, oh, this is like another HBO that's like off. And I was like, no, it's the same one. And she was like, no, surely not. But they were so happy and everyone was really proud of me. And I was really feeding off of that. But then obviously when I had to actually sit down and write, and, you know, as we've mentioned, very different circumstances. I'm not miserable anymore. Like, you know, it's not lockdown anymore. Yeah. So I was like, okay, like, how do I access that part of myself that, like, had nothing else to do other than be miserable and write the story?
And how did What did you do?
God. You know, it's like you just completely suppress a part of your life. I'm like, what happened? Who was I? What did I do? I think, honestly, so... As you've mentioned, I do like to leave my house. I do love a nice dress, and I think I just didn't do that for like 2 years. Like I just was really indoors and really like.
I feel like I noticed that on Instagram, and then I feel like you're like, my book's coming out, and I was like,
be right
back. Yomi's been working on her book.
Yomi's not been in dresses.
Yeah, I love watching the dresses and the events. I'm always like, where's she been?
Yeah. It's a running joke at this point.
I love it. I love it. I'm like, oh, that looks nice.
I do love a dress. I do love an excuse to like you know, wear makeup and like be fancy, because like honestly on a day to day I'm not. And I also think like what you're saying about like writers and stuff, like writers, I don't know where like the glamour's gone and why we're not seen in that way, but like I identify as like glamorous before identifying as a writer.
There are people
like my main,
there are people like you and Dolly Alderton and bringing it in
Caroline O'Donoghue as well,
bringing it in a very Instagrammy way.
I love it.
So, and it's, and it's a real,
me too,
not that there should ever be guilt, but it's like an intellectual person's way to go like, okay, they look beautiful and I love her writing.
We will often follow people and be like, and did you, God, she looked amazing in that.
Which we never really do about Salman Rushdie, do we? I really loved the reread, and the reason I did is because...
Yes, because we both read it, obviously, when it came out last year.
Before it came out, some of us.
Oh, yes, Sarah's got the actual signed...
I read it so desperately trying to find out what's going to happen that I think the reason I really enjoyed a reread is it's such dense wisdom.
The second time round, I was like, she did not mention that. I did not see that. Because you're so desperate. You're like, come on, what happened?
Yes.
And the first bit, I was like... Yeah, that's pretty.
I underlined a lot
huge.
Of sentences.
Yes, that's what I was trying to find on my buddy version.
Underlined a lot of sentences.
Well, I was like, oh my God, she tells me from chapter one that that's going to happen, so, and I didn't know that.
So, just a small thing. Good.
Congratulations, Jomi, on your good writing.
Oh, thank you.
How quickly tech stuff, the web stuff has changed. Because if you'd said to me 5 years ago, you will one day say, who's on Twitter first thing in the morning? That feels like such a loaded thing now. If you were to write a novel in 2024 and the character goes on Twitter, you'd be like, why? What red pill are they talking about?
I mean,
about?
And also it's X.
Exactly.
And like, we had to change our original like tagline, which, I mean, my biggest bugbear, like my biggest extra grind with Elon Musk is that he like fucked my tagline, because the original tagline was verified couple, unverified rumours.
Isn't on the
that
iconic?
It is iconic. Verification is for any Tom, Dick and Harry. That means nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, thanks, Elon Musk. Yeah. You've absolutely ruined that
now,
belt. And that's
now
like
it means
shit.
The characters are dweebs who paid Elon Musk to have a blue tick.
Which is
it's a completely different
so
thing.
So that means like right-wing couples and rumours and fake news. Like,
this is about Boris Johnson and his wife.
So
isn't it crazy that this, you know, the technology changes so quickly now?
Sorry, I was writing this in 2020, and it was set in 2019. So I started in 2020. It was set in 2019, and then it came out last year. So it's like the amount of change. I remember when the acquisition was happening, and I was like, "How is this going to change?" Like, obviously, everyone's still insane on the internet, so that's fine.
The
thrust of it, but just genuinely on a technical level, the amount of things that aren't relevant now and how dated it is in many ways, not necessarily in terms of plot, but in terms of
it's pinned down to a time.
But that's the thing, because that's technology moves so quickly. The good thing is I can read this book and 2019 is very accessible for me. It's not like, oh, 1920. What did they do? It's like, I remember when it was Twitter and I'm upset that everything's changed. And like, it's just a sort of testament that you've captured a moment.
Thank you.
So quickly. Let's not
the other thing that was of that time is sort of post Me Too, everyone is very, very aware that there is there are problematic people working at a very high accoladed level.
Precisely.
And the trouble with that is that they can use their position to further abuse that power.
Yeah.
And this question of how do we stop them? We still haven't answered it, unfortunately.
We do not know.
And so this book has a really interesting take on that, because it isn't what you might assume, which is a guilty person being taken down, which is a very, very valid story.
Yes.
In fiction or nonfiction, but it's slightly more complicated, where someone is being accused of something and they may or may not be entirely innocent, and one of the lines I underlined because I loved it so much, which was Michael's sort of wife to be,
Ola.
It was essentially that he might think himself innocent but still be guilty.
Yes,
but sometimes
the
guilty people don't even know that they're guilty.
Yes, exactly.
And that's one of
the
very...
and all the other associate characters often say that to her. Sally says, "But what if he didn't know he was doing it?"
Yeah,
and that was like that chilling moment where you're like, yes, that is what we're always dealing with.
It's not like murder, where it's like, did I kill him? Did I stab him? It's
he was dead when I left.
Yeah.
He was alive when I arrived. And what I was thinking so much in this reread is the only evidence, if you're a heterosexual woman and you have a relationship with a man, the only evidence you have is how they've treated you, which is no evidence about how they've treated other people.
No, exactly.
And the rest is a guess. It's an assumption. It's a leap of faith. And that is what's your book is exploring. And I have to say, just in case anyone hasn't read it, in a really fun way, in case that it's a really fun, vibrant, beautiful group of people exploring that dilemma. So there was a version of this in comedy, The List. Not what you think, nothing to do with sexual predators.
Yeah.
It's a really good example of how anyone can say anything online. When Women in Comedy did a tweet saying, it's such a shame that Britain's Ellen DeGeneres is a bully or is such a bully. So she didn't name anyone.
Yeah.
But then what happened was all the comments underneath were people saying who they thought it was.
Yeah.
Based on this clue. Yeah. And they were adding the people that they thought it was. And so you can't defend yourself against a bullying. And a little bit like Michael, the character. Like, how do you prove you didn't do something
when you don't even know where it's coming from, or if it's even about you?
Yes,
and I think,
or that some people might think you had bullied them.
Yeah,
and they start thinking and about it. Well, hang on,
then you start getting all philosophical and be like, "What is bullying?" And it's like, "No, like you know." But it, I think that's the thing. I think for me, the biggest distinction was about it being online, because I remember like many people got annoyed at me for like, you know, spoiler alert, like not focusing on someone who was like necessarily like guilty.
So they wanted it to go, so for it to be cut and dry. He was a guilty man 100%. Being pulled up.
I honestly think that had it ended like, oh yeah, and by the way, he's guilty, like a lot of more people would have been like really happy, but I think it probably wouldn't be the book it is. Because I think
I found that really strange. I also read something saying like, we're in this grey area. But I was like, but that is the area that needs discussing, is the grey area.
That's the thing that's so unsettling. We, all of us, could have, do something. We have a power now.
Yeah.
And it's not even about, oh, I have power because I've got followers. Anyone has a power because if you say something online and it's believed, you cannot go backwards from that.
You can have zero followers. And I think this is why the distinction between online and offline is so crucial to me. Because when someone was like, oh, you know, I think one of the biggest kind of critiques is like, well, this happens so rarely that like, why give it space? Why give it oxygen? It happens so rarely.
Yeah. And I'm like, someone is accused who isn't guilty.
Right? Where someone is accused, where a person makes an allegation of assault or anything that, you know, is false. And I'm like, the statistics that we continue to use, right, which is that like 2-3% of rape allegations are false, applies to the police.
Yeah.
It is when someone has gone to the police and reported an allegation.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the internet.
That's a separate court.
Right?
And also that's not what your book is about.
Yeah. Precisely. Spoiler alert again. So there are about 70 men accused on the list.
Mm.
Two of whom are, well, one who's like innocent, one who it's like a bit murkier, but like, you know, it's not as straightforward as he's guilty.
Mm.
I'm really shit at maths, but I worked out the other day and I was like, oh, that's actually the exact percentage that, you know, we rely on, which is between 2-3%. It's 2.8%. So I've got to hope that's right, or it's going to be really embarrassing. But basically, even though that would actually, let's be frank, would honestly be an underrepresentation of how much people lie on the internet about anything.
Yeah.
I still was like, right, we're only going to have 2 out of 70 people where it's like there's questions to be asked about the allegation. But people applying like the standard that, you know, this is the percentage of people that have made up allegations when referring, you know, like when speaking to the police, and applying that to the internet is absolute lunacy. Also, people make things up on the internet every day.
This is where the interesting story is.
The internet's a place we all live. We 100%. Live there more than real life, and we don't have any boundaries on it. So we live in a wild west.
It's lawless.
60% of our time.
Lawless.
And we still act like it's not a real place. It's over there.
Or no damage can happen.
What I loved about this book, and also really picked up more on a reread, is you are dealing with a couple who are not secure.
Yeah.
And that's actually the point, that this is why something like this
would absolutely ruin everything.
Like completely different points, you know, in the universe.
Yeah.
Because what we find out is Michael has lied about some things. He hasn't been truthful. And immediately as he's accused, Ola starts hiring a private detective, doing things that, like, if you were in a secure relationship,
you wouldn't even need to.
And, like, that's the thing. They both turn to each other. A lot of the conversations are like, but why aren't you Like, yeah. why aren't you just there for me? And yeah. you're like, because already in the back of both of their minds, there is a, this shouldn't really be together. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I thought there was a brilliant bit when, yeah, Michael says, like, you know, from the very beginning, Ola loved the potential of him, yeah. not him. And when I reread it, I was like, you're telling us yes. from the beginning that
and
this
that
is
flawed.
This yeah. is a flawed couple.
First 40 pages, you do use the word flawed about
yeah, like
God.
He's flawed.
He is really flawed.
They actually, there's a...
He's so good looking, I didn't notice.
But I thought that's, again, really interesting because it's making another comment about relationships, romance yeah. in the age of Instagram mm. as well, of like they become this like hashtag black love couple yeah. because their engagement picture goes viral. Yeah. Mm. And again, I just thought what you're exploring is such a like modern problems right. of like, would they have been together had that picture not gone viral? Had mm. it not fitted all these things that were making them feel like, oh, my ego is being really fulfilled yeah. by this relationship.
Right from the very beginning when they're in a VIP area drinking, oh, yeah, being beautiful, it's like relationship as a performance.
Yes,
we
yes.
are now allowed into, not just in gossip pages, into people's couples, yeah. There's pictures.
Oh my God, the bit in the book where yeah. it's like there's a celebrity influencer couple, yeah. and the couple account starts refollowing him, but she yeah, doesn't
because it's yeah. like a separation.
Yeah, and, yeah. and that's like we know what that means yeah. politically. You're like, oh, yeah. I see. So she doesn't, but the couple. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the couple one is the business one.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
Like
yeah.
it is, and sometimes we do need to. Like take a step back and be like your book, a mirror held up to what's going on. We go, yeah. oh God, yeah, this is baffling. It's crazy. It's happened really fast. Mm. But there is now it's now monetized that people might be beautiful and fascinating and let us absorb some of it yeah. or, you know, consume some of it. And then there are real people behind
yeah.
it. All those reality shows like Made in Chelsea, the scripted reality shows
yeah, yeah.
are people's real lives that they are selling. And we're now we're now really comfortable with yeah. that, mm-hmm. with the 100%. Idea that a real couple will do that.
Yeah.
And I can just watch from my sofa.
And it is what it is, and it's completely yeah. normal. And mm. yeah, everything you're saying, I'm just like, it's so funny. I'm like in a little book club about my own book. yeah. I mean, duh, literally what it's called. But like, yeah. yeah. No, I think it's so true. And I think as well, like the specific pressures, like there are black couple and there's a real kind of like, yeah. I guess, thirst for representation, especially like, mm. you know, two dark skinned black people. People really love it, and I speak like, you know, we're just talking about like reality TV. Yeah. Speaking of like Love Island, I always say that like when black couples or like two black people meet and fall for each other mm. on Love Island, I say the pressure they experience compared to like white Love Islanders is different because yeah. there is such a hunger for representation within the black community because black people, full stop, aren't like necessarily represented like as much as we should be on the media
yes, yeah.
or in the media. So then when you know you see not just like one black person, but two black people together and they're mm. in love and it's a positive depiction. Mm. Like we start to like really unhealthily at times, like pin all our like hopes and dreams on this couple. Yeah. And you see it a lot where like, you'll just have these fucking like, I mean, it's like, I look at Love Island, I'm like, it's fresh as week. They're
and also,
like 22.
Love Island, mm. they don't have a huge pool of people to choose from.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of pressure.
Oh, and if they don't choose each other, that's a whole different thing. But yeah. when they do choose each other, it's like, oh my God, this is amazing, yeah. which is great. Like, you love to see it. You love to see black love. But I'm saying there's a reason that, like, the hashtag black love exists
yeah,
because you don't really
yeah.
see it as much. So people, like, you don't see it as much, I'd say, especially, like, when you're in a country where obviously most people aren't black. So when people do see it, they really start putting mm. a lot on that couple. And it's, like, things that are normal, like fallouts and, like, breakups and whatever, people start being like, I don't believe in love whether, you know, if this couple don't make it. And it's like, right, they're like, okay. I'm literally 22. Like, yeah. I'm probably yes. going to cheat on this person. Like, yeah. so it's just kind of like, it's a lot on them. And I think, I don't know what the list would look like if their identities were different. Mm. But I do know that, like, for instance, something that I think, like really resonated a lot, I think, with American audiences is the fact that, like, Michael is a man, yes. But he's also a black man. And, like, historically, there have been, like, you know, instances of use of someone's identity, like, as yes. a black man to kind yeah. of then be like, this person is not just a threat, but like a sexual threat and, you know, X, yeah, Y, Z.
There is a racial element to call out culture because...
Yeah, like the yeah. exactly the sexualization of black men.
People are more likely
men.
To believe it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Because it's the criminality Asian, thing, yeah. the like assumed criminality and this assumed like degeneracy where, yeah. I mean, it happens to black women, but it's slightly different because mm. I guess the threat of danger isn't the same.
Well, so people, yeah, just a huge history.
Right?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
very different. So I feel like with Michael... I honestly think another route mm. that people would have got behind is if I'd have been like, Michael's innocent, but the person that accused him was white, right, I think everyone would have been like, ah, okay, that's
yes,
fair.
We know that
because
story.
It's like these are the archetypes that we're like, okay, this is the only, like, I think I'm always saying this. I think right now we're kind of in a crisis with fiction of like the Disneyfication of like adult literature, where we want it to be like Disney, where you know Jafar's bad because look how he's drawn.
Yeah, you know.
Got, look at the eyebrows. So like, you know they're bastards. But then it's like, we want to like go in and be like, Michael's bad because he is a man and he's been accused of this
but that's
thing.
That's what
and
I like, loved about this book. Thanks. And I loved, again, I won't say it because it is a spoiler, but that ending, I loved because I was like, oh, that's complicated.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we're living in a really complicated time. And like anyone who's lived on the internet through the Me Too stuff, and you know, we both work in comedy, and like it's fucking complicated sometimes.
It's really hard.
Trying to pick apart what harassment means, who you know, who you believe when you know the man and the woman, and you're trying to go, okay, what's the best moral route here? And I thought what this does is offers up lots of questions, maybe not answers, but that's not the job of fiction.
So I had no answers.
So it's not your job.
So much earlier than the ending, page 45, we've got something which I think is, we say grey, I think of this as a heterosexual conundrum.
Okay.
Right? Because if you are a straight woman who finds men attractive, you will sometimes like find yourself confronted with male behaviour.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So we're talking.
I can't remember what I wrote.
This is about Michael chatting girls up in the street.
Oh, when he's like trying to remember.
So it's about, as a teenager, if he saw a girl with a pretty face or a shapely behind on the road, he called after her and expertly extricated a name, a smile and a number from her like a snake charmer. You'd follow them up the road sometimes, calling, sure, but not in a bad way. He knew girls who didn't feel attractive if they weren't chatted up at least once when they were out. Still, Ola had mentioned that as a teenager walking up her street, she'd more than once fearfully given out a fake number and prayed the guy didn't ring her phone then and there. When did it go from chatting up to catcalling? So, what you've done, and again, this is what's so masterful about how packed the book is with these things. You've done both. You've given me a male and female perspective. There was a really great podcast where a woman in Australia stood outside in King's Cross, which is part of Sydney, and interviewed men who made sexual comments towards her. And they all said, it makes women feel flattered.
This is the thing.
And she kept saying, what if I told you that women laugh politely because we're scared?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's like two things can be true at once. Yeah. I guess. Because that fake number thing is literally pulled from my life. I remember when I was like a teenager walking up my road and this guy was talking to me and I just remember like praying because he rang, like I gave him a fake number and I remember him ringing the phone in front of me and I remember
because
thinking
he knows people give him fake numbers
exactly,
so he knows they
before.
Don't want to do it.
I don't remember my fucking school uniform, but then on the other hand it's like today literally just an excuse to talk about how someone said I was pretty today. Like I was on the tube and it's thank
just gonna ring you and check that.
The rest of the podcast is just gonna be this, but I was on the tube today and this guy that like I got on the tube and was like, it's literally turning into like a Love Island podcast, but like I got on the tube and this guy was like, I saw this guy and I thought, oh, he's really handsome, and then I sat down and then he like gestured to me and I was like, I caught his eyes a few times, and then he gestured and I was like, and he was like, oh, you're really beautiful. And I was like, thanks. And they literally just did like this tortoise shell thing. I completely went inside of myself. Not because I didn't like it. I was so flattered because I was like, he's really hot. Yeah.
Well, that's
but
the thing.
I was
two
like,
things can be true at the same time. It can sometimes be a flattering, flirty, and other times be a stranger harassing you.
And I think the thing is, I actually genuinely understand why people are afraid of the conversation in which you acknowledge that sometimes it's not always horrible and sometimes it is like, oh, you know, I'm attracted to this person and they're like being like, you know, also showing attraction that can be nice in certain contexts. I get why people are so afraid of like, what about if you show an instance in which a man isn't guilty, is because women aren't believed, so they feel like if you give any oxygen to that conversation you're then overrepresenting something, right? But I feel like if you don't, I'm always saying this, then the wrong kind of people take ownership of that conversation because we're not having it over here on the inverted
commas
right side.
We're shutting it up. We're going, no, we can't talk about it. We're too scared.
So then people just go on the wrong side and like, well, we'll have that chat over there. And I'm like, well, we need to talk about it because it's true.
I think you're really brave to do that with a central character, because what I think another writer might have done is have like Michael be perfect because we need him to be perfect for the story to work, and then have like, he's got a friend who chats people up.
Yeah.
And everyone, not just men, everyone has layers where in a certain light or something you have done or something that you've done ignorantly could be construed a certain way.
100%.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Going back to the whole like Disneyfication of like fiction and just life, I'm always saying that like I think a lot of writers of color or minoritized identities and like even like I guess I feel like less so actually with just like female writers across the board, because you do get books like Really Good Actually and like the Fleabag series you know, like you've got really messy protagonists. But I think a lot of authors of color in particular, because we've had such like a dearth for a start of like depictions, but also like, I don't know, like bad depictions, we feel like it's on our shoulders to like correct a canon. So then it's like, people, and I think also, especially post 2020, a lot of white writers weirdly feel the same, like complicit for the bad depictions of black characters. So feel like if we are gonna write like black people or minorities, they have to be perfect, right? So then what happens is that you end up, and it's kind of even like, even when you look at like women characters in XYZ, like people, obviously a lot of people, again, it's a spoiler, but a lot of people were kind of like, some people were relieved, like, oh, thank fuck, it's a man, you know, at the end of this is like being really horrible. And I'm like, yes, I chose to make it a man, but that doesn't mean that like women are incapable of bad things.
I
honestly believe that the idea that like based on identity, you cannot do bad things, it's like in some ways like misogynistic to be like, you know what, women don't have the same capacity to do, I think women aren't empowered to do bad things at the same rate. We don't have the capital, we don't have the space, the positionality in society to be as evil as men are. I think that's why that show, The Power, and like, you know, that I love that kind of central conceit of like, yeah, women got this power and then kind of went mad, because I think it's just that whole thing about power corrupting. And I think when I wrote Michael, I was like, and Ola, I was like, I'm always saying this, my constant go-to example is, I'm from Croydon and everyone is black in Croydon. So literally, if you didn't know, everyone is black. And therefore, I'm always like, when I look at like the heroes of my story, they're all black in Croydon. And then when I look at the, like the villains in my stories of Croydon, they're all black as well, because everyone's black. Just like the good and the bad people are black. And I feel like you see that in shows with white protagonists constantly, because everyone's white. But then it's like in where black people are kind of just appearing in things, it's like there's a pressure that they have to be perfect because they're the only one.
Very wise, like very like overeducated.
Very wise, very like above calm, the fray. And I'm like, well, I'm just writing the messy world that I grew up in. Therefore, like Ola's going to be weird, and then like Michael's going to be terrible. But then also they're going to have these amazing people that are like really great in XYZ, because that's the world I grew up around, humans. So, and I think that's the thing, there's a pressure.
Have you watched American Fiction?
I loved it. And I met Cord Jefferson at the BAFTAs, and I was so drunk, and I like practically pulled him by the lapels and was like, my sister's been reading you since Tumblr, we're so happy for you. And he was like, great. He was really nice. It was brilliant. He deserved
because
it.
So much has changed, as you say, since 2020.
Yeah.
In the discussion, that already there's that now, the parodies of because people
it's
are
so
noticing
true.
This
already. Like it's literally come around so quickly. Exactly. And I thought American Fiction was great because Monk was terrible. It's like Dreaming While It's Black.
Yeah,
was,
I love
done by
that
my friend
show.
Ajani.
Oh, it's brilliant.
My god, Corbin is awful. It's horrible. But you so empathise with him. But I love it because I feel like this is a person. Like you've got, like I'm seeing 360 characters. I can tell he didn't write that. With the pressure of like he needs to be perfect. And with Michael, I really battled with it, like maybe I should make Michael super sympathetic, because then what's happening to him, you feel really bad. But I was like, I'm actually gonna write a guy that like is just a guy, and like probably like most men, sorry men, but like is pretty bad in some ways. He deserve this?
Yeah, it made it such a more grounded read, and also I think it made it more sympathetic, because you could see like he didn't always know what he was doing. He's a dumbass. And sometimes yeah. he made the wrong. But like we all make mistakes.
Are.
And obviously that's not what
But we're
I'm
not allowed
saying.
To admit it, because it's like now I think we're in this really weird time where like, I don't know, we're in a really weird time where everything just feels so, like this is not groundbreaking, but everything feels super performative. And I think everything comes from a place of like, not, it's, I went to see The Crucible last year and I remember being like, Oh my God, this is exactly what's happening now.
Yeah. Your book would be such a good accompaniment to The Crucible.
I think so. They people were like flinging with other things. I'm like, no, I think it's the Crucible.
Well, it is. It's The Crucible.
Yeah, I didn't realise,
but of course it is, because The Crucible is a really good man being taken down because the women are believed.
So don't believe women. Listen, if you've been listening, what our takeaway is, don't believe women. Basically, like, people make mistakes, get over it. It's not a big deal.
It's so hard to have this conversation without the thing. Yeah. I think the hysteria, the hysteria of the Crucible was just so, like, how
it rolls on and how you can't help being
swept
up within it.
Also how people not involved. That's what I liked about this. Twitter people jumping on being like, hey, you should be sacked.
Yeah. Do they even mean it, or do they just want to?
Well, if you've been in a Twitter storm and you've had people go for you, it is the strangest thing to be like,
who are you?
Who are you?
And then sometimes like, hang on, I thought we were all right. How did you get involved?
Like, and people being like, shame on you.
I always knew. Yeah. And I think that's the thing as well. Like,
I never liked them.
Why didn't you say that yesterday? But I think like, there's that thing of like, people are way more cowardly than we like to admit. And I think so much of this stuff comes from like, people being like, if I can quickly like, say this person's like, a piece of shit, then maybe people will be less inclined to look through my old tweets. I really think a lot of that is the genesis. Because yes, The Crucible just loads of people being like, shit, well, they're going to burn me at the stake. So let me quickly.
It's attack as a form of defense.
100%. Yeah. And I think that's the time we're living in now where people just feel so like they need to kind of like get ahead of the story.
I think it's that. I also think as we're talking about it, and it's because I've made a joke that I feel bad about, because so many people have experienced something horrible.
Yes, joking aside.
Then we do believe it of all men.
I really liked the choice to have it be our main character's fiancé, because that's the juiciest point of view, right? Because it's like, how does the deepest, most vocalist feminist,
how do you defend that?
And also, should you defend it? But what if it is a lie?
And believing women is so, so simple until it's someone you know and care about.
But people don't like to say that. And I think that's the thing, like, when I first was drafting it, the book was only from Ola's perspective because I just thought it was such an interesting and rarely depicted perspective of what is it to be a woman who is, you know, if not the, like, fiancé, the best friend, the sister, the parent of someone who's accused of something like that. But also, something that I think is, like, so important is that distinction of that allegation being on the internet, where we are like taught, I mean, you know, growing up in the era of like Catfish and just like, you know, my parents literally being like, do not believe anything or anyone that you believe on the internet, because, you know, we all, and then also being like in the midst of like a fake news crisis that's now being like, oh my God, turbo fueled by like AI. I saw this like AI depiction of like Leonardo DiCaprio with like Margot Robbie. And I was looking at the bodies, and obviously it wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio because he was about 4'3". Yeah. But simultaneously, I was like, oh my God, what's happened? He's like shrunk, because like, it was his face. Yeah. And he I'm like, you know, things are getting so sophisticated in the ways that we can,
Our brains didn't evolve to be able to be.
Not at this rate.
We're tricked. Like we are tricked.
And we think we're so above it.
And also, before the internet, we knew in newspapers that there were lies, but we still believe things. It used to just be don't believe it if you read it. And people don't, like, often only read the headlines of things.
Most people. I remember I used to work at Channel 4 News, and like, we used to have software where you could see how many people had actually clicked on the links they were retweeting. And literally, the percentage would be like, this received 15,000 retweets. And of that 15,000 people, 6 people have clicked this link. Because people like to just share things, because often like what it says about them, what it shows that they're across, without actually engaging. I think it is because, again, women are so rarely believed that we take the routes that we can to justice, that it just feels like we can apply that logic to most other spaces and be like, that probably doesn't shape up. But because women are so rarely believed, people are like, well, even if we are dealing with a really problematic like medium which just actually encourages lying, like, we're still gonna just not look at the details.
And also, it's like, we do need we need better tools in how to protect people and stop people who are abusing their power.
This is the main thing.
It probably isn't going to be Twitter,
but when you say that, because I'm always saying this, like, we've had a lovely chat today, and I always say that, like, there's literally nothing stopping me from being like, oh my God, lovely to see you guys. Oh, yeah, that's fab. And going home and being like, burner account. Weirdo book club girls are murderers. Yeah. And like, yeah, there's nothing stopping me.
Of course,
if you sanity. Yeah. Do you know what? My anecdote about this is that when I was in, why is this the second time I've told this story today? I do not know. But when I was in primary school, this random girl told my primary school teacher that I brought a knife to school.
Fuck.
Me. I love that you're laughing. Me. She just, I don't know where, she just randomly was like, Yomi brought a knife to school.
Yeah, she panicked.
And my teacher, obviously me being the baby angel that I am, yeah, my teacher literally was like, Yomi, come here. And I was like, even at that young age, I was like, Miss, do you think I've, and she was like, yeah, I literally am asking, like, protocol, because yeah, obviously a sweet darling baby like you would never dare. Which I didn't, and I just remember that from a very I'm like, this is not helping Croydon's reputation.
Oh my God, but from a very early age,
she just randomly was like, and I think I've experienced that, like another one when I was at uni, I'd never had sex, and I remember this guy literally just told people I had sex, and I'll never forget, I went up to him in front of all his friends and I went, how, we've never had, I was like, I've never even kissed, I've never even gone on a date with you, I've never even flirted with you, I am also a virgin. And it was like the biggest, like, and I remember, I will never forget, he just looked at me and was like stammering, and I was like, so people just make things up. I was like, so bamboozled, because he just, and then I remember one of my friends was like, oh, that happened to me, because another guy at our uni had literally, she also was a virgin. We're just walking around with these Nigerian, like, Christian virgins, and all these guys, because we were kind of like party girls, were like, yeah, because I think what they thought was, oh, we're quite, because we were quite like out there, I think they assumed we were sexually active and they'd get away with it. But because it wasn't even, we were like, oh no, we didn't have sex with you, we were like, we literally have never, what is sex?
Like, that's,
we've
such a never good had it. To that story of like, no, no, my
I
friend.
I was like, I've never had sex. And I remember, like, the whole kitchen was just like, and I remember that's when I was like, so people actually can say anything. So I think I'm very used to people just like absolutely putting shit out of their bum. And I'm like on the internet more than ever. Yeah. So for me, I think it's interesting that people see it as like some sort of like having some sort of bearing on like allegations of abuse. Because to me, I'm like, it's about the internet. Mm. It's like, I understand that's the vessel I chose to tell the story through, but I could have done this about TripAdvisor. Yeah. Like, oh,
yeah, and you make that somebody, point in the book. You could say stuff like a restaurant you've not been to,
and been like, oh yeah, I never received that, and it's like I don't even know. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't even didn't know the
people,
thing.
They just put one star on.
And we acknowledge that's possible. Yeah. We acknowledge it's possible. One of my friends literally said that she had like constant review bombings, and she found out it was like a hater, basically.
Well, people do it, like, you know, it's a way you can attack people.
100%. And I think what's crazy is we understand it in all these other contexts, but again, because we understandably are afraid to go there when it comes to allegations of abuse, we don't. And that's the thing, it doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't feed into the narrative of like, you're saying women lie at all. Because to me, I'm like, the internet is a completely different kettle of fish. People lie about things.
Yeah.
Lie about things and are like, cats, dogs, I don't know, maybe cats and dogs don't, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's just nature. No, that people
they
do lie.
They pretend that you haven't been fed cats and dogs. They pretend they haven't been fed when you fed them. They lick their empty bowl and people come over and they're like,
dogs,
oh, your dog wants feeding.
Yeah.
I'm certainly so grateful we're living in a time where this conversation is happening. I'm certainly like compared to like when we were at uni and it was just like, oh yeah, that's what happens, you know, this is awful, men are awful.
Yeah.
And then to see other people be like, just to see what happened with Me Too, and everyone be like, fuck. And all these conversations with men are like, oh, we didn't realise.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And every woman being like, oh, every single one of us has a story. Every single one of us. But that doesn't mean that there's not other conversations to be had. Like, so I think we're living in an amazing time. Again, it's like with all things, nothing's all good or all awful. And like the internet, as you said, like, you know, Twitter is an amazing thing to link all of these women together and to destroy the patriarchy of gossip and being like, oh, gossip is meaningless and that you shouldn't take any heed to it. Which actually you go, oh, it's how women survive.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic book.
So, that's so amazing. Thank
and I think
so
it's a
much.
Perfect book club book because
we got into it. We were like, yeah.
I think
I wrote it.
If you haven't read it, what have
you
been doing?
We've ruined it all for you and you deserve
that. We
sometimes, although we forget, we talk about the star sign of the author. And while I was trying to find it out, I found out that Yomi had written a whole article about how amazing it is to talk about star signs.
Oh, that's my whole shit.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
We adore you. And can't wait for your TV show and for your next book.
Oh, thank you guys. Oh, I appreciate it.
thank you for listening to the Weirdos Book Club.
The list by Yomi Adegoke is out in paperback from today. Go and get it. It's so good.
Guess who is sitting next to in the bookshop? Yes, it's my novel Weirdo that's also out in paperback today.
And next to it, not really, it'll be in the self-help and grief section, is my book, You Are Not Alone, also in paperback.
You can find out about all of our upcoming books that we're going to be discussing on our Instagram at Sarah and Carriad's Weirdos Book Club.
Thank you for reading with us.
We love reading you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast, and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.